How do you get a solid-state battery to an ionic conductivity of 1.68 millisiemens per centimeter? And what does that number even mean for the future of electric vehicles and electronics in the West? This week, we'll tell you why it's a critical benchmark that could signal a major shift in the global battery race. Welcome to Troy Technical Intelligence, your weekly briefing on the technology that's reshaping manufacturing, trade, and strategy. I'm Susie.
And I'm Troy. This week, we're tracking a powerful convergence of sustainability and speed. First, we'll dissect the dual moves in chemical recycling that are paving the way for industrial-scale operations in the U.S. Then, we'll look at how AI is drastically compressing R&D timelines for new materials, with a key partnership in India signaling a shift in global innovation. Finally, we'll dive into the lab, where breakthroughs in recyclable thermosets and solid-state batteries are creating new competitive landscapes for Western firms.
Let's start with plastic waste, Troy. It feels like we've been talking about chemical recycling for years. What happened this week to make it a headline?
Two critical developments, Susie, both pointing towards commercial maturity. First, on June 18th, SES Standards launched SES-004. This is a new certification framework specifically for chemical recycling facilities using technologies like pyrolysis and depolymerization.
So this is about creating a trusted standard, separating the legitimate players from those accused of greenwashing.
Precisely. It provides a verified, auditable pathway for processing hard-to-recycle plastics. For U.S. and European manufacturers, this is a de-risking event. It means you can now source chemically recycled feedstocks with a credible third-party certification, making your sustainability claims much more robust.
And the second development?
That came out of the U.S. plastics industry on June 24th. They are lobbying hard for these advanced recycling facilities to be legally reclassified as manufacturing plants instead of waste management facilities.
Why is that distinction so important? It sounds like bureaucratic jargon.
It's a game changer for investment and scale. Classification as a manufacturing plant streamlines the permitting process and lowers operational costs, which have been major hurdles. For European companies watching the U.S. market, this signals an imminent acceleration in domestic capacity. They could soon face a more competitive American plastics industry with a stronger circular economy story.
So what's the actionable insight here?
Weston executives should immediately task their procurement teams to identify suppliers pursuing SES-004 certification. For those in capital projects, reevaluate investment in U.S.-based recycling infrastructure. The regulatory winds are shifting in your favor. This is the moment chemical recycling transitions from pilot to industrial scale.
Let's shift from recycling to creation. We're seeing a lot about artificial intelligence in material science. What's the real-world impact right now?
The impact is a massive compression of time and cost. A partnership announced on June 18th between Novite Materials, an AI deep tech startup, and Kinvara Specialty Chemicals in India is a perfect case study. Novite uses a generative AI platform to discover and synthesize new specialty chemicals for the polymer industry.
So instead of a chemist spending years in a lab with trial and error, an AI can predict new molecules and how to make them?
Exactly. The AI models molecular design, synthesis pathways, and material properties, cutting R&D cycles from years down to months. Kinvara then provides the manufacturing and commercialization expertise to scale it up. It's a complete end-to-end pathway, and importantly, it's based in India.
What does that mean for Western chemical companies who have traditionally dominated this space?
It represents a significant competitive threat. This partnership aims to replace globally sourced specialty chemicals with locally developed ones, making India more self-sufficient. U.S. and European manufacturers who rely on unique chemical additives might see new, lower-cost, and rapidly developed alternatives emerging from markets they once supplied.
An ACS review published the same day, June 18th, noted that chemistry challenges are actually driving AI innovation. It mentioned self-driving labs. Is that what this Novitai partnership is, essentially?
It's a step towards it. A self-driving lab combines AI for planning with robotics for execution. This partnership is the human-driven version, but the principle is the same: dramatically accelerate discovery. For Western trading companies, this means sourcing opportunities for novel materials will pop up in unexpected regions, and market entry timing will be much faster.
So the key takeaway for our audience?
Executives in R&D-intensive industries need to reassess their innovation models. If you are not integrating AI-driven materials discovery, you are falling behind. Consider partnerships with AI startups like Novite or building in-house capabilities. The innovation monopoly held by the West is eroding fast.
Okay, Troy. Let's talk about some of the toughest materials to recycle. Thermosets. Things like epoxies and carbon fiber composites used in aerospace and automotive. They're strong, but they usually end up in a landfill.
That's the classic trade-off, but new chemistry is changing the equation. Research published on June 25th details the development of a degradable epoxy acid thermoset. The key is a dual-functional hardener derived from phthalic anhydride.
In plain English, what does that hardener do?
It builds a strong cross-linked polymer network, but it also builds in a release valve. Under specific conditions, the network can be chemically broken down, allowing the original materials to be recovered. For carbon fiber-reinforced plastics, or CFRPs, this is huge. It provides a strategy to efficiently recover the expensive carbon fibers, which are usually lost.
So a U.S. aerospace or German automotive manufacturer could soon build parts with high-strength CFRPs that are fully recyclable at the end of their life?
That is the precise objective, and it's part of a broader trend. A separate paper in ACS Polymers All on June 19th announced the development of rigid bio-based vitrimers.
Vitrimers? That's a new term for me.
Think of them as a hybrid. They have the mechanical strength and chemical resistance of a thermoset, but at elevated temperatures, the crosslinks in their molecular network can rearrange. This allows the material to be reprocessed, reshaped, and recycled like a thermoplastic. Critically, these specific vitrimers are made from bio-based sources like diisosorbide and furfural.
So you get performance, recyclability, and a sustainable feedstock. That sounds like the holy grail for materials engineers.
It is. For U.S. and European manufacturers, this means the potential to design products with no compromises. They can meet aggressive sustainability mandates without sacrificing performance. Trading companies should be scouting for the first pilot-scale production of these vitrimers. Getting early access will be a significant competitive advantage.
The actionable insight for an executive listening now?
Engage your material science teams to evaluate these new classes of recyclable thermosets and vitrimers immediately. The ability to label a high-performance product as fully circular will be a massive market differentiator within the next 3 to 5 years. Start designing for it now.
Troy, every week we talk about electric vehicles and energy storage. It feels like the entire industry is waiting for the next big battery breakthrough. Did we see one this week?
We saw two significant steps forward in solid-state electrolytes, which are the key to safer, more powerful batteries. First, a June 22nd report in Chemical Communications from the UK detailed a new polymer electrolyte for solid-state sodium metal batteries.
Sodium, not lithium? That's interesting.
Yes, sodium is far more abundant and cheaper than lithium. The challenge has always been performance. This research uses a metal organic framework, or MOF, engineered with an ionic liquid. This structure anchors negative anions, allowing the positive sodium ions to move much more freely.
So it's like clearing traffic on a highway, just for the sodium ions?
An excellent analogy. This leads to high ionic mobility and superior cycling stability. For European manufacturers, particularly in automotive and grid storage, this progress in sodium ion tech is a critical hedge against lithium supply chain volatility and cost.
But lithium is still the king for now. Was there any news on that front?
A major development. A June 19th report in the Advanced Portfolio detailed a new polymer electrolyte for solid-state lithium metal batteries. By embedding polarized barium titanium nanowires into the electrolyte, researchers achieved an ionic conductivity of 1.68 millisiemens per centimeter at room temperature.
And that number, 1.68, is that good?
It's exceptional. For a solid polymer electrolyte, anything over 1 is considered the benchmark for practical application. This high conductivity, combined with a high Li plus ion transference number of 0.766, means it's extremely efficient at moving lithium ions while suppressing the growth of dendrites, the microscopic metal whiskers that cause short circuits and fires.
So this directly addresses the safety and performance issues holding back solid-state batteries.
Correct. For U.S. and European tech companies, this is a clear signal that high-energy density solid-state lithium batteries are moving closer to commercial reality. This could unlock new form factors for consumer electronics and extend the range of EVs.
The takeaway for executives?
The battery landscape is bifurcating. Your long-term strategy must account for both lithium-based and non-lithium alternatives like sodium. The performance gap is closing.
companies should be investing in R&D or partnerships that explore both pathways to avoid being locked into a single, potentially volatile supply chain.
Let's wrap up, Troy. It sounds like the pressure for sustainability is driving innovation across the board.
It is. On June 25th, we saw reports of a surge in PFAS-free innovations driven by regulatory pressure. Major players like BASF, Dow, and DuPont are all developing alternatives for everything from food packaging to textiles.
These are the forever chemicals that are facing bans in Europe and the US.
Exactly. The takeaway is that regulation is creating new markets. Companies that can innovate and scale PFAS-free solutions first will capture significant share. On that note, BASF was also highlighted on June 26th for piloting renewable feedstocks for PVC heat stabilizers, moving away from petroleum. This is another example of a market leader getting ahead of the environmental curve.
We also saw some interesting corporate moves. Syensqo, the Belgian specialty chemicals firm, picked up a supplier award from Freudenberg, a major investment from BlackRock, and confirmed its materials are on NASA's Artemis II mission, all in the week of June 18th.
It shows that performance and reliability are still paramount. Syensqo is a company that delivers on both, cutting-edge materials for space and dependable quality for industrial seals. It's a model for navigating the current market.
So, boiling it all down, what are the three key strategic takeaways for our listeners this week?
First, the infrastructure for the circular economy is maturing. With new certifications and favorable regulatory shifts for chemical recycling, the time to integrate these materials into your supply chain is now. Not in 5 years. Second, AI-driven R&D is decentralizing innovation. Western firms must adapt to a world where breakthrough materials can emerge from anywhere, like the Novite partnership in India, and at a much faster pace. Third, the next generation of materials is solving legacy trade-offs. Recyclable thermosets and high-performance solid-state batteries are prime examples. The companies that design these into their products today will dominate the markets of tomorrow.
That's all the time we have for this week's briefing. Thank you for the intelligence, Troy.
My pleasure, Susie.
And thank you for listening to Troy Technical Intelligence. Join us again next week for the analysis you need to stay ahead. To make sure you never miss a briefing, please subscribe wherever you get your podcasts.